With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
Okay, 8:06 here on Sports Map Radio Network and ESPN 97.5. Good Saturday morning, Houston, a brisk one. My name is Will Doctor alongside Sean Mapes behind the glass. Charlie Epps is out today on some vacation time. This is Charlie Epps Golf Hour presented by Insperity HR that makes a difference. And we hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving, lots of football, lots of turkey, whether you hate the bird or not. We hope you had a great time with family and friends. As for the world of golf, we had a 12-hole match yesterday between Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka, all to a great cause. Millions and millions were fed as a result of this, and kudos to them for that. But as far as the golf was concerned, Brooks won the match after eight holes, which was just a total blowout. And really, from a competition standpoint, the match was nothing more than a Friday afternoon nap for most viewers. In my opinion, it would have been more interesting if they walked over to MGM after the match, put the boxing gloves on, and just duked it out, even though I'm sure Bryson DeChambeau throwing a jab would not be the prettiest thing in the world. But here's the deal. I'm waiting for these two showmen to organically play themselves into the final round of a major championship. And until then, I'm under the impression this rivalry is really just a complete act. And for more on that, at 8:20, we'll hear from Tim Schmidt, managing editor of Golf Week, for more on the match. And, of course, an update on Tiger Woods' progression, as there's been reports that the PNC Championship, which will be held in a little under a month from now, will be holding a spot for Tiger just in case he decides to heat up with his son, Charlie. So we'll get an update from Tim on that at 8:20. Later in the show, we're going to hear from world number one women's amateur Rose Zhang in a sit-down interview between Rose and I back at the Spirit International a few weeks ago. A lot of great insight on her humble beginnings that have shaped her to not only a great golfer, but really an incredible person who is now a freshman at Stanford. He's already won three times, broke Tiger's record. So look forward to hearing from Rose more later in the hour. Next segment, a little PGA Tour and European Tour update. We'll do that right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network and ESPN 97.5, presented by Insperity HR that makes a difference. Don't go anywhere.
Listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
Okay, 8:12. Charlie taking some time to rest after the big holiday. Welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour at Charlie Epps Golf on Twitter, on Sports Map Radio Network, and ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Insperity HR that makes a difference. And I'll be taking you solo through the program along with Sean Mapes behind the glass. Sean, how was your Thanksgiving, buddy? And what was the winning dish?
It was great. And the winning dish, I think I forget how much I enjoy stuffing. And I know I like it, but then, like, it's always a hit. It's always my favorite.
Yeah, we talked last week about the Ocean Spray cranberry sauce, and I didn't realize it, but it's in the repertoire in my family's and Thanksgiving spread. I never thought about, you know, where does the cranberry sauce come from? And it goes to show you that I've never been in the kitchen. But
yeah, no, I also yeah. I just know the can when I see
it. But they pulled it out, and I said, well, you know, we've had it the last 12 years. It really is the best, though. It really is. There's no better cranberry sauce.
I brought some leftovers with me to heat up for lunch in a couple hours.
Yeah.
What I brought, you know, all the turkey and dressing stuff in one container. And I brought a little Ziploc just with two slices of the cranberry sauce.
Yeah, no, it's the best. It's the best. I had my second Thanksgiving dinner last night, too. The fridge is packed. It's the best time of the year. It really is. So in case you're just joining us, a lot to get to today. Of course, the match between Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka, not a real golf tournament by any means. It was only 12 holes, in my opinion, neither one of them have the ability to entertain for 18 holes, a 4.5-hour round of golf. We're yet to see anyone entertain for that long. There's been 5 matches so far, celebrity-wise. The only person that's been able to entertain for that long is Phil Mickelson. So we got to get to, you know, more celebrities. In the last segment, we'll discuss, you know, what's the ideal match. Who do we want playing in the celebrity golf match? So we'll get to that and some better options. All proceeds did go to charity, and so good on both of them for that. But a couple of big tour seasons came to an end last week. The PGA Tour fall season, which is the first leg of the season, not necessarily the end of the full season. But Taylor Gooch, incredibly gritty player from Oklahoma, emerged as the victor at the RSM Classic up there at the beautiful Sea Island Resort. Really an unbelievable start to the season for Gooch in the tune-up events of the fall. He was really trending in the right direction the past 2 months. Came in fourth at Fortinet and Napa to start the season, which Max Homa won. Then Taylor Gooch finishes fifth 2 weeks later at the CJ Cup in Vegas, 11th the next week in Mayakoba. Some regression a couple weeks ago here in Houston where Gooch finished 60th. And then last week at Sea Island, he emerged victorious through a couple of days of high winds off the coast. Really tight golf course in the lowlands of Georgia. And remember, Taylor Gooch is not the best driver of the golf ball on the PGA Tour. He ranks 126th on tour in driving accuracy. Had lost strokes in 4 of his last 6 events off the tee in relation to the field. Really didn't even drive the ball that well en route to the victory last week. He just played this punch hook hybrid around those golf courses. So went 64, 65, 67, 64 to win by 3 shots over Mackenzie Hughes from Canada. So Taylor Gooch is the leader, in the FedEx Cup standings going into the PGA Tour winter break, with a ton of great players trailing him. He also punches his ticket to Augusta for the Masters in April as a result of his win at the RSM. So he keeps up this good play, then he's likely going to be in the gambling slate for the Masters. Really unbelievably consistent fall for Taylor Gooch. As far as the FedEx Cup standings is concerned, Sam Burns is close behind in second in the FedEx Cup standings after his win at Sanderson Farms. And after that, it goes Sungjae Im in third, who will report to the South Korean military for 2 years at some point in the spring. No exact date on that, but we'll keep you posted. I was talking to Sean Martin, who is the senior editor for PGAtour.com. I said, Sean, you know, when's it going to happen? You know, we heard about this probably 6 months ago. Is he waiting for the majors? Does he get another calendar season? And he was unsure as well. He just said it's probably soon. So we'll see if Sanjay gets a chance at Augusta before he ships off. And best of luck to him there. Back to the FedEx Cup standings. Hideki Matsuyama in fourth place. And then it goes Victor Hovland, Max Homa, Matthew Wolf, who, in my opinion, is bound to catch a huge win in the spring. Jason Kokrak, and then finally in ninth place heading into the break is Rory McIlroy, who has shown great signs of life here in the past 4 months, starting with his win at the CJ Cup in Vegas. And we really need Rory. We need Rory. We need Tiger back, which we'll get to a little later. But Rory's a huge piece of the entertainment part of golf. If he can get to, you know, playing better, you know, and just start, you know, start being that we star that, start being the star that we once knew. You know, hopefully he can find himself in one of these celebrity golf matches. But speaking of Rory, that brings us into how the season ended on the European Tour last week, where Rory was cruising through three rounds of this golf tournament, and I really thought he was going to close it out. We heard so much through the week about how he's gone back to his childhood swing coach and Michael Bannon. He was playing those huge draws, what we were so used to seeing Rory hit through his early 20s. There was a lot of spark in the air going into that final round, and a lot of people, you know, were already predicting Rory to win the Masters after the third round of that European Tour Championship just a week ago. It had been just such a consistent fall for him, unlike anything we've seen in quite a while. But what does he do? He shoots two over 74, bogeys three of the last four holes of the golf tournament, and loses by five. Part of the storyline, you know, was Rory choking the lead on Sunday. The other part of that storyline was 24-year-old Colin Morikawa shooting a final round 66 to win in what caps off a storybook year for Morikawa. What a final round to not only capture the tournament, but to win the Race to Dubai, which is a season-ending money list on the European Tour, beating out fellow American Billy Horschel. And Morikawa becomes the first American to win the European Tour end-of-the-year money list. A lot of comparisons between Tiger and Colin, you know, through Colin's first 60 events as a professional. And you do have to respect some of these numbers. Morikawa has two majors, a PGA and a British. Tiger only had one through his first 60 starts, famously won the 97 Masters and then had a two-year drought. However, Tiger did have more wins and top 10s through 60 events as well as a better scoring average and only one missed cut compared to Colin's five. So, you know, as much as majors do weigh in my evaluation of comparisons, Tiger is ahead, is still ahead in most categories through their respective first 60 events. And just like any other sport, it is tough to compare eras. Technology has changed. The money has changed. So many changes. It's really just not fair to compare eras. And to be honest, not really fair to compare Tiger to anyone. But, you know, anyways, listen, a quick read for our friends over at Insperity Business Owners. Have you ever felt like the walls are closing in, that the obstacles to grow your business are overwhelming? We all know running a business comes with pressure, remote workforces, HR compliance, keeping your top employees happy. There's no wonder that you start to feel boxed in. But you don't have to do it alone. Fortunately, there's Insperity. They put 30-plus years of experience to work helping you with your human resources, from hiring and training to HR, admin, and compliance. Add in competitive benefit options for your employees, and you've expanded your HR capabilities with Insperity. Lightening your HR load, you can focus on growing your business, surrounded by employees who are empowered to be their best. Don't let the obstacles keep you from realizing your full potential. Get the relief you need from an HR company that puts you and your employees on a path to success. Because with HR, with Insperity, nothing seems impossible. And when we come back, managing editor for Golf Week, Tim Schmidt, will join us. Saw Tim a couple weeks ago at the Spirit. Great work that he's been doing over at Golf Week. A lot to talk about, from the match to you know, some new news on Tiger Woods. If we have time, we'll get to some Premier Golf League questions. A lot to catch up there. A lot going on in golf right now. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SportsMap Radio Network and ESPN 97.5, presented by Insperity HR, that makes a difference. Back after this.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
Okay, 25, Charlie out on rest. Welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour at Charlie Epps Show on on Twitter, on SportsMap Radio Network, and ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Insperity HR that makes a difference. If you're just joining us, we discussed the end of the RSM and Colin Morikawa's incredible finish to the season, winning the European Tour race to Dubai, which is their tour championship. A lot to uncover this segment, from the match between Brooks and Bryson to some news on Tiger Woods. And for more on that, we're going to go to the Progressive guest line and welcome in managing editor for Golf Week, Tim Schmidt. Tim, happy holidays, my friend. Great to have you on the show. Did you get to indulge in the turkey and all, you know, for a couple days of Thanksgiving?
I did. So I live up here in Austin, but we went down to Corpus Christi and had some beach time. My wife was a sport enough to put together a meal while we were on the road. So we had a great time and also snuck in some beach time as well. And by the way, it was great to see you at the Houston Open.
Oh, no. It was unbelievable, Tim. What a finish there. You know, we talked a bit about that last week. Tough to not see Scottie Scheffler and Matt Wolff be in contention down the last three holes, but beautiful win by Jason Kokrak. He has Texas's number this year. It's there's no doubt.
And by the way, a guy who, I mean, the light just turned on. You've heard the stories about the longer putter and how it changed his game. But, you know, a guy who everybody said, you know, this guy can hit the hell out of the ball. He's a heck of a player. When is he going to put it all together? And a short tweak like that, you know what that does? That makes guys like me, Will, just keep plugging. There's going to be that one thing that helps me become Jason Kokrak and all of a sudden shoot numbers.
Well, did you get to talk with him at all after the big win?
I did, and he is really just just such a fun guy to chat with. As a matter of fact, I made a comment. I believe it was on Saturday morning. He came back out because of the rain delay and was just horrific. I think he went like 41 on the back nine or something along
correct,
those lines.
Correct. Yes, 41 on the back.
Yeah, and I called it a debacle in my question to him. I said, after the Saturday morning debacle on the back, were you surprised at the fact that, you know, you closed it out on the back on Sunday, which was really impressive? And he laughed and said, I don't know if I'd call that a debacle. And then he goes, yeah, I would. It was pretty awful. So he, you know, he's just got a good way about him, a good-natured a guy who's enjoying his time. And by the way, now that he's got some confidence, playing some great golf, and it's great to see guys like that contend. The more stars, the merrier on the PGA Tour. You know, it's great to do the Brooks and Bryson thing yesterday. That's a lot of fun. But as people become more visible, we get more stars on the PGA Tour. It just makes it more fun each week to watch.
Absolutely. And listen, I'm ready to shake up these matches a little bit. And speaking of, let's get to it. You know, the match was over by the eighth hole, and Bryson didn't win a single hole. It was obviously, you know, for a great cause. You know, with how many meals went to charity. But, Tim, what were your thoughts on the competition aspects, but, you know, between Brooks and Bryson?
It's exactly what, if you would have asked me, and, Will, I think we've even talked about this. I think that Bryson DeChambeau is still a little immature, kind of grew into his body later in life, was a skinny kid growing up, isn't used to being a real bully, if you will, and all of a sudden has the body of one, and still lacks a little bit of maturity. He is a heck of a golfer. He does some crazy things with the golf ball in terms of his driving ability and his short game. We underrate his short game often. But when it gets mano a mano and you see someone like Brooks Koepka, who is calculated and as Phil kept saying, Phil Mickelson talking on the broadcast about how he didn't want to tick off Brooks Koepka. Well, you know, I think that says so much about their personalities. Brooks is laser focused. Bryson's passing out cupcakes and happy to be there. And it showed yesterday when Brooks kind of unleashed what he had inside, whether it's real anger or whether a lot of it's just, you know, contrived for player impact fund, you know, winnings. Either way, he knows how to channel that when he needs to, and Bryson is still kind of figuring himself out. And it just showed yesterday. It really did. It was pretty stark, the contrast between the two of them, if you ask me.
Absolutely right, not even close. And it was interesting to hear how you know, Phil was talking about how he was trying to stay as far away from Brooks as possible, during that final round of the PGA. Didn't want to take him off or anything. That's what gets Brooks' juices going. Now, Tim, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the format was specifically for broadcast purposes, or possibly the fact that these guys might run out of things to talk about in an 18-hole period. But it just didn't feel right that the match between these two guys was over after 8 holes. You know, it was great that they were able to fit in a couple more shots here and there. But, you know, a golf match that's over in 8 holes just doesn't seem like the solution. Your thoughts, Tim?
Interesting, because at the beginning of the day, everybody kind of kept saying, oh, wow, 12 holes is the new 18. Maybe this is the great thing for golf. We need more of this. And then you're right, because of the fact that it was over so quickly, I think we all felt like, really? I mean, I just kind of settled in. I really just kind of got used to the format here, and it's over already. I don't know. Let me just say one quick thing about the matches in general. And you brought up an interesting, you know, take in the beginning, Will. You're like, I'm ready to shake these up, and I completely appreciate that. But I will say this. The fact that they're trying this, I know it's not popular with golf purists. I know this is not a thing. I mean, you go on golf Twitter, as soon as the match is announced, and you're going to hear about how people aren't going to watch it, and they're going to sleep through it, and what a stupid concept this is. I will tell you that yesterday was one of the biggest days in digital traffic for golfweek.com of the entire year.
Wow.
So people want this. And they might say they don't want it. The purists say that. But that's not really the case. The average Joe, now they had a great time slot yesterday. There wasn't a ton going on. A lot of people are home, sitting around with nothing to do. There were bad college football games for the most part. But at the end of the day, people really do want this. So the reason I bring all this up is I think they need to continue tweaking the format. They're going to find something. Yesterday wasn't the solution. 8 holes doesn't make sense. Brooks and Bryson, while it sounds great, in reality, Brooks isn't a talker. Bryson's kind of goofy. They just don't make for the same chemistry that, say, you know, Phil and Charles and some of the other guys who've been on do. But they're going to keep trying, man. This is working, and it's getting people to talk about golf at times when people don't typically talk about it. So get ready. I wouldn't be surprised if this eventually becomes a 4 or 5 time a year series that they announce at some point. And now what the answer is to make it good, that's a completely different question. I'm not sure. But I can tell you they're going to keep trying.
And one thing that I would love to see stay, you know, is Phil and Barkley in the booth. I mean, Phil is becoming the Tony Romo of golf broadcast, and Barkley is just a great joy to hear over the waves. But, you know, I think to really cap off these matches, what do we need? What does golf need? Real quick here, Tim, and I think that's for Tiger Woods to be back in action. He needs to be in these big money celebrity events. It's amazing that hopefully we get to see Tiger a lot sooner than expected. You know, we've seen some reports about the PNC here in a couple months. Tim, what are the chances Tiger makes an appearance with his son Charlie here in less than a month?
Yeah, our Eamon Lynch, who is our lead columnist, he's also a contributor on Golf Channel, had a column just a couple days ago saying that multiple people with the PNC Championship and the PGA Tour have told Eamon that they had planned to close out the field for the event that's coming up in December, where he and Charlie last year made their big splash. And they were about to close the field and were told by Tiger's people, hold on, we're not ready for that yet. There may be some news coming up. And as we've, in the golf industry know, Tiger isn't like Bryson, who just hands out cupcakes just to be funny. Tiger does things only if they are very calculated and within reach. I would not be shocked. As a matter of fact, I would put the odds at fairly good that we will see Tiger Woods at the PNC Championship. Now, what does that mean? How will he play? How will he be able to participate? I'm not sure. But if as Eamon said in his column the other day, the fact that three different people have said that they were trying to close that field and were basically had their hands slapped and said, no, hold on, Tiger's thinking about this, that's a pretty good sign that he's a lot closer than we think he is. And you're right, that changes matches in the future. You get Tiger Woods back in one of these matches next August or next October, now you're talking about something that the entire world's going to watch again. Very interesting.
Tim, we appreciate your time so much. Hey, I want to plan an hour Saturday where we can get together and just talk about the Premier Golf League. A lot of fun stuff going on there. A lot of great coverage from Golf Week. You guys are the best as far as covering that and really the entire world of golf. I appreciate your time today, Tim.
Always good to talk to you, Will.
Have a good one, my friend. Happy holidays. You know, it's interesting, you know, with Tiger and the expectations with the horrific injury. A lot to uncover there. He should be back soon. I'm predicting three more green jackets and one more claret jug. We'll get to more on that. This is the Charlie Hubs Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network and ESPN 975, presented by Insperity. HR that makes a difference. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
Okay, 40 here. Charlie out on break on Sports Map Radio Network and ESPN 975. Welcome back. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour presented by Insperity. HR that makes a difference. Great hearing from managing editor of Golf Week, Tim Schmidt, in the last segment. In case you missed it, you can find it on any of your favorite podcast sources, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, you name it. The Charlie Epps Golf Hour is there. And the next thing I have for all of you this morning is an interview I did a few weeks ago at the Spirit International with world number one women's amateur Rose Zhang. She has held world number one for the last 2 years. And she's only a freshman at Stanford. She's really had a Tiger-like start at Stanford. And by the numbers, it's actually been a better start than what Tiger had. Tiger won two of his first three events at Stanford. Rose won her first three. So keep in mind when you're listening to this that that Rose Zhang is the closest comparison to a Tiger Woods or an Annika Sorenstam. I mean, seriously, she wins everything. She came to the Spirit just a few weeks ago. Captured her fourth victory in less than 3 months. I was on the broadcast that week, and Rose is just is a different player unlike anyone has seen, especially in the world of women's golf. So enough of me. Enjoy the conversation between Rose Zhang and I.
Hello, and welcome back to the 2021 Spirit International Amateur Golf Championship. I'm joined by Rose Zhang, member of Team USA and recipient of the 2021 Mark H. McCormick Medal. Rose, thank you for taking some time to talk with us today. It was amazing to watch you being presented with the McCormick Medal by the USGA a few days ago. Take us back to the early days. Where did your love for golf first start?
Yes, I started when I was 9 and a half, and it was in my own backyard. My dad's friend kind of forced my dad into the game of golf, bought him clubs, shoes, even range balls, just to get him to play a little bit. And at the time, I was very energetic. I really liked playing different kinds of sports. So I started just swinging around with my dad in the backyard, and I made contact with the ball since we had like a small grass field in the back. And from then on, I just wanted to start playing and carried on, took some lessons, and I just fell in love with it ever since.
Who would you say your earliest influence in the game was?
It was definitely my dad. I mean, he's been with me 24/7 every single time I practiced. He forewent his job just to kind of support me in my golf career. So he's definitely been a great impact on me in my entire career.
And at what point in junior golf did you firmly believe that you were going to play Division I college golf at a high level?
I actually did not even consider it. I didn't really think about playing collegiate golf. I was just fell in love with the game. Every event that I played, I tried to play the best I could. And the scores just built on, and I started having visits with different college coaches in California. And from then on, I was like, okay, collegiate golf sounds like a great idea. I really love this game. And college is a time where I really want to pursue that, so I went ahead and did it.
Now back to junior golf. You were selected for the Junior USA Solheim Cup in 2019. How was that experience?
It was amazing. I believe it was 2017 where I won the Junior PGA, and it gave me an exemption into the Junior Solheim Cup. And there's so many names that are, you know, professionals now, and I've been able to just become really close with them, and representing my country for the first time was simply amazing. So it was an amazing week, and the venues were, as always, very prestigious, and I loved every second of it.
You were a two-time Rolex Player of the Year as a junior, and you continue the trend as an amateur, winning your second straight Mark H. McCormick Award as the number one amateur golfer. How have you been able to consistently stay at number one over the years?
I think it's just staying on top of what I'm doing and staying in the present. Obviously, there's a million voices out there, and sometimes that can be a little overwhelming. And for other people, they tend to listen in on those voices and or maybe overthink things too much. So I try to make things simple. I still have a very simple life. And I still have very supportive people around me. So they help keep me humble and keep me in the right direction, which, you know, I'm very grateful for, and I just keep doing what I'm doing.
And before you even went to college, you won the 2020 U.S. Amateur at Woodmont Country Club. Now, just 10 days prior to that, you're fighting a wrist injury and considering withdrawing from the event. How are you able to persevere through such pain to win our nation's title?
Yeah, it was definitely a crazy week. My coach, I talked to my coach about my injury, and he was very against me playing the event. But I said, this is going to be the first event that I played since COVID. So I really want to play it, and it's such a big event, I couldn't miss it. So I decided just to go ahead and do it. And perfectly that week, I just didn't have any expectations, no pressure at all. And I just kept taking care of my ball. And even though I did have to pop a little bit of Advil here and there, it was definitely a long ride. And beating Gabby in that 38-hole match was simply amazing.
And that actually came a year before you won the U.S. Junior Amateur. Mm-hmm. And it must be a pretty rare feat to win the U.S. Amateur before you win the U.S. Junior. Did you feel like you were ready for collegiate golf well before you graduated high school?
I did. I actually thought that I couldn't wait for collegiate golf. I feel like I was going to be able to develop my game more, learn more about the world, and just be with a team that's so supportive and amazing in what they do as well. I was just very ready to kind of get into the collegiate level and play with some of the girls that I played with since I was in junior golf.
And you've even competed beyond the elite amateur competition, finishing 11th at the 2020 ANA Inspiration and breaking Michelle Wee's scoring record while doing so. How does it feel to be in the same conversation as Michelle?
That was amazing. I actually did not know of her record. I knew that she played amazing in the ANA, but I didn't know that I was en route to beating her record, and let alone doing it. So after I drained that last putt, the commentators were like, oh, she just broke Michelle Wee's record. And I was very shook at that moment. But it was a great week, and that was definitely a moment to remember.
So you wrap up 2020, and come 2021, you start the year finishing third at the Augusta National Women's Amateur. How special was it to play Augusta National?
It was so special. I mean, being in the final group, in that final pairing with some of the best amateurs in the world, and playing Augusta National, I didn't know I was going to be able to do it. And to have that happen and play an 18-hole round with it being televised and being in contention, it was simply a moment that I will remember forever.
Well, we've talked about junior championships, amateur championships, and major championships, and that was all before you stepped foot on a college campus. Tell me more about how you chose Stanford University.
Yeah, so when I first started going into the recruiting process, I was a freshman in high school, and I decided I wanted to stay in California. I love the weather. I'm always a California girl. So I decided to choose between Stanford University, UCLA, and USC. All great golf programs, all great academic programs. And in the end, I just went on my unofficial visits before the NCAA rules changed. And I was lucky to be able to talk to Coach Walker a lot more. And I fell in love with the team, the way that she carries her entire team. And also just the academic program is amazing. So it was the best of both worlds, and it was without a doubt my number one choice, and I was really lucky to go there.
I talked to Coach Walker a couple weeks ago, and she described what she said you described yourself best as chill. Now, does that chill attitude provide an advantage for you on the golf course in a game that is so high strung?
Yes, I would say so. I mean, I'm very chill on and off the golf course, I would say. And being on the golf course, I don't really have too many emotions. I feel like that really helps me stay consistent and stay even-headed throughout the round. Even when I'm having a bogey, a double, a triple, it would be typically the same as a birdie with my reaction. So a lot of friends have told me, have asked me if I had any emotions on the golf course. And I was like, in my mind, I do, but I'm pretty evenly distributed throughout the round.
So you get to Stanford this past fall and you win the first three events right off the bat. That's something that not even the great Tiger Woods did. He almost did, but ended up winning two out of three of his first. Was that something you expected when you arrived on campus?
I certainly didn't. I didn't even know about Tiger Woods' record in his freshman year. And being able to actually accomplish three wins in three starts, I could have never imagined it. Since when I went into college, all I wanted to do was adjust well with my peers and get to know myself and my golf game a little more, and it definitely blew me away. So I was very grateful, and to have my name and Tiger Woods' name in the same conversation, I would have never thought of it.
You went 4-0-1 at this year's Curtis Cup, quite an impressive record for your first time representing the United States in an amateur event. How did Conway Golf Club in Wales suit your game?
Yes, it was very tight, and the weather was actually perfect that week. We got very lucky, but I thought that the entire course suited me very well. I was ball striking it pretty well, and I was just converting putts. And match play really suits my game, where I really like to feed off the energy of my teammates and just be able to be aggressive with each shot. So I think overall that week was just amazing, and I was really honored to be able to represent the U.S. with my teammates.
You've competed for your school, yourself, and behalf of your state. Do you approach playing for your country any differently?
I feel like I don't. I just think of I think of it as a way where I represent myself and the people around me. As long as I take care of what I need to do, and as well as I present myself in a positive light for whoever I'm playing with, I should be good to go. So I think that playing for my country is the hugest honor, and that's what all athletes want to do. But I just take it at a lighter approach, so there's not too much pressure into thinking about it.
What was it like to get the call that you would represent the United States of America at the 2021 Spirit?
It was great. I mean, Stacy, our captain, just came up to me at the AIG British Open, and she asked if I wanted to play. And I was immediately stoked. I was like, wow, this is amazing. There was a conflict where my team, my college team, is playing in Hawaii, so I was a little unsure with the scheduling, but once Coach Walker said it was good to go, I was all for it, and my playing partner, Rachel, is also playing with me, so it's really fun.
Rose, congratulations on the McCormick Award, and best of luck the rest of the way in the Spirit and beyond.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, unbelievable interview there with Rose Zhang, an unbelievable country, unbelievable representative of the country. Many gold medals, many major championships ahead. When we come back, a little review before the end of the show. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network and ESPN 97.5, presented by Insperity HR that makes a difference. Back after this.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
Okay, 8:57, wrapping up here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network and ESPN 97.5, presented by Insperity HR that makes a difference. No picks this week. Actually, my first time on the show where there's no picks. There's no golf tournament going anywhere in the world this week. The Joburg Open over in South Africa was being played until this new COVID strain appeared, and they just shut the whole country down. Actually, I had a few buddies playing in that event over there. Luckily, they got out, had to, you know, transport all over the place, Ethiopia, you know, everywhere. It's a mess down there. So for the first time in quite a while, no golf currently going on this week, but just closing off here, back to what Tim Schmidt was saying about Tiger earlier in the show. These reports are real, that he could be back within the next month, which is insane because his leg was in 2 to 3 different pieces, you know, less than a year ago. Now, let's not forget what the world was saying when Tiger's car was overturned in a California ditch, and LAPD was saying that he was dragged out by the jaws of life. I was one in a handful of golf media who never had a doubt that the big cat would return regardless. Because in my mind, you have to pull Tiger's brain out of his head and send it to Mars for him to not be able to play competitive golf. Am I saying he returns to a full schedule? Absolutely not. But can he play the majors? Can he contend? Can he win? Yes, 3 more green jackets and a claret jug at St. Andrews is what I'm calling. Hey, Sean Mapes behind the glass. Great show. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network and ESPN 97.5, presented by Insperity HR that makes a difference. See you next week.